May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our Redeemer. First, thank you for the invitation this morning. Thank you for this morning to the Dean and the Abbey, the Lord Chief Justice and the Lord Chancellor. And of course, thank you to all of you. I am continually struck by how much we ask of you in the task of keeping order in our society, pursuing justice, and managing your own lives at the same time. Keeping faith and balanced judgment has its challenges, and that's without even mentioning the huge further challenges of the pandemic. We all need reminders of what first stirred our hearts, called us, inspires us. On the surface of the moon, just a few feet from the Apollo 11 landing site and Neil Armstrong's first footprint, lies a small white cloth pouch. Inside is a silicon disc the size of a small coin containing messages from 73 nations. One of those nations is the Vatican. And in it, the Pope quotes Psalm 8, which we've just heard, aptly the first biblical text to reach the moon. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? You have made them little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. This is the first of the Psalms to erupt in a great paean of praise to God. The Psalms immediately preceding concentrate on humanity's suffering and distance from God. Psalm 8 bursts out with an astounding affirmation of the status and vocation of human beings. Little lower than God, crowned with glory and honor. It resonates with Desmond Tutu's reminder that we are God's stand-ins here in earth. It gives forth to his challenge to imagine what would happen if we were to act as if each of us were God carriers. How would we view that person who irritates us so much if we remember that they too are a God-bearer? How could we mistreat, bomb, or torture a fellow God-bearer? How could we forget our responsibility to help all creation flourish by loving and caring as God would? Of course, if we actually achieved this, we'd be out of a job. In the perfect world, there would be no need for judges or barristers or lawyers or police. But we live in an imperfect world. Human beings are lower than angels. Yet this is the vision we are asked to pursue. How? In those words of Micah. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Justice in those verses is not simply an aspiration, something to wish for or complain about because it is lacking. The Hebrew demands action. Justice, like mercy and humility, is something people do. Action which means confronting the imperfection of the world. It means remembering, as Hebrews says, those who are in prison as if we ourselves are in prison. There, but for the grace of God, go I. It is an extraordinary demand. Only a God who humbles God's self, as Philippians says, who shares our suffering, could make such a demand. It takes us back to the bare essentials. What might it mean to follow Christ's example? To believe that we are little lower than the angels? To have the courage to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? Walking humbly may not be a bad place to start. As the Prime Minister said earlier in the pandemic, we need to be humble in the face of nature and in the face of the virus. In any case, none of us gets it right all the time. You can't do this job for very long, wrote one judge, without that becoming apparent. He went on, humility is an essential quality of a good judge, one that is not always easy to reconcile with the confidence needed to make the decisions for which all parties are waiting. The Danish theologian Kierkegaard saw the need for that balance of confidence and humility after walking along a secluded seashore. He wrote in his journal, "As I stood alone and forsaken, the power of the sea and the battle of the elements reminded me of my own nothingness. And on the other hand, the sure flight of the birds recalled the words spoken by Christ, 'Not a sparrow shall fall to the ground without your Father knowing.' Then all at once," he writes, "I felt how great and how small I was. Then did those two mighty forces, pride and humility, happily unite in friendship." We might say therein is the power to follow Christ's example. Therein is the glorious liberty of the children of God and the dominant theme of the common law. The Spirit, which in the well-known words of Judge Leonard Hand, quoted before from this pulpit by the late Lord Steyne, is not too sure that it is right, but seeks to understand the minds of other men and women. The Spirit which weighs their interests alongside its own without bias. The Spirit of liberty that remembers that not even a sparrow falls to earth unheeded. The Spirit of liberty is the spirit of him who near 2,000 years ago taught humanity that lesson it has never learned, but has never quite forgotten, that there may be a kingdom where the least shall be heard and considered, side by side with the greatest. That is the spirit of confronting imperfection with action and with hope, embodied for me in Desmond Tutu and in the continuing struggle in South Africa and throughout the world. It was another South African who spent her life working for justice amidst apartheid who taught me what living like God, living with Christ's generosity and hope, might mean. As a child walking with her mother by one of the most beautiful sandy beaches in the Cape, they could see everyone enjoying themselves on the beach, and the little girl, of course, wanted to join in. Her mother knew that no black could go there. A response? No, you can't, but one day you will. That inspired her daughter's lifelong work for Johns for Justice and her constant hope. And that is God's promise too. Not just the moon and the stars, but that one day, through Christ and in Christ, our broken world will be made new. One day, we will walk on that beach, knowing what it is to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God.